My special guest and hometown hero is here today, Marquetta Diggins. She was very successful at Talbot High. She went to play at NC State. She also played professional basketball as well. And now she's on a new journey. She's coaching. I'm going to dig into her mind today and see how she looks at things. So, Marquetta, pretty much tell everybody, the viewers, about you and all your achievements.
As like you said, I started off at Tarboro High. From there, I was the – well, my record was broken, finally. So I led the Twin Counties in scoring. And also at Tarboro High, went to state championships and things like that. Player of the year, 3 years in a row for the conference. High school was so long ago. I guess the biggest accomplishments on the high school level was having my jersey retired and being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Those were my biggest two accomplishments were at high school level. At the collegiate level, I was a four-year starter, played multiple positions, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
The four probably hindered me more so than it helped. I think like 89 points. So I was like 11 from 1,000. I'm like, that's because I played the four. And so over 500 rebounds, 16 appearance, that type of thing. At the professional level, I played 2 years there overseas. I played, my first year was tough. I was in Poland playing against Shamika Holzclaws. She's like 6'1". Backing my little self down. But offense, I'm like, all right, I got you back. But then you sit back and you realize you're going tit for tat with your childhood. Your childhood hero, it was a humbling moment for me playing against a lot of the girls. And some of them are still in the WNBA today. And then my next year, I played in Portugal, beautiful country. Beautiful, beautiful country. And then I actually, I was usually when you're on teams like that, you're going to be the best most of the time. The Americans are typically their best players. And so I had a really good career. And then in terms of why I stopped playing so quickly was the first year my uncle was in ICU. So I almost lost my uncle.
Oh, wow.
The second year, Coach, I passed away. And so wow. I'm very, very family oriented. So for me, that was tough. And so I kind of was going back and forth in my mind, what I wanted to do. I didn't know. When Coach Al passed away, Coach Al had always asked me, did I want to coach? And I'm just like, no. not at all. And I literally told her, I was like, no, because you guys have no life. Y'all always here. Y'all don't have no spouse, no kids.
Oh, wow.
I'm good, love, enjoy.
Sports people.
Yeah, so that was college. It was college. And so when she passed away in February 2009, I never forget it. I was on my little thing. I saw it on ESPN. Then, of course, people started to try to call before you find out. We had a game that day, away game, and it just so happened that my agent was coming to my game that day. And so she got me to be able to be home for the funeral and stuff like that. And just in that moment hitting me how much Coach Al impacted my life as a collegiate coach. And so I didn't get an offer right away overseas. My life is so divinely ordered, and I'm realizing that more and more. And so, you're coming off two crazy seasons, leading scorer and assist and rebounder in the league. What I mean? You're on your team in the league, up there in the league as well, and you don't get a contract like that. It's like, what's going on? So, I went that summer. North Carolina Central had a camp. They were transitioning from Division II, independent, and going into the MEAC. And so one of my best friends played there, Casey King, and her jersey was tied in there. So Coach Jolie was like, no, y'all want to come work camp? We don't have no money to pay you, blah, blah. I'm just like, I don't care about that. I like ball. So I like kids, and kids have always been a passion of mine. And so I went to camp, coached the kids at camp, and then Coach Robinson, Coach Jolie Robinson, and at the time the associate head coach Coach Antonio Davis.
Okay.
Asked me would I mind volunteering. They liked the way that I interacted and talked as a camp counselor, and asked would I mind coming along and just volunteering for a year until I went back overseas.
Right.
I'm just like sure, yeah, keep me in the game and keep me keep me in the game and keep me in shape. I play against the girls in practice, that kind of thing. So I did it. And my agent called me in the middle of the year. And I'm just like, I think I'm going to stay. It was an opportunity. I got so used to being able to see my family whenever I wanted to. I hadn't been home in 7 years for Thanksgiving. I had an opportunity to be home with my family. My grandparents were getting older. And I still were able to combine my passions of youth and basketball. So, you know, as a professional, it was just basketball. When you're young, you know, you're on your own path anyway. You're not really worried about other people. But, you know, after Coach I passed away, it really made me think a lot about my own legacy and what I wanted to leave behind. And that's where it started. And so at the coaching level, I'm still trying to figure out what level I really want to be at, because it's different.
Yeah.
It's different from Division One, and even in Division One, all levels are different. You have high rank, you know, Power Five conference is Division One. You have mid level, and then you have the lower Division Ones. Same thing with Division Two. Same thing with Division Three. So I'm trying to figure out where it is that I want to be, and how can I use my skill and to impact the lives of young women. A lot of young women that I work with are minority young women. They're black young women like myself. And it's important to me that we have representation for these young women as role models and things like that. And people who've actually walked in their shoes to help them fulfill their dreams, even if it's not necessarily with basketball. Because that's, as I'm younger, that was the thing that I focus on. But as I'm older, I do a lot more now. Like, I'm also a psychotherapist. I also am a co-founder of a nonprofit organization right here in Princeville, North Carolina, my own hometown. And so for me, giving back is always this something that has been important to me. So I'll say those are things that to me also are some of my biggest accomplishments outside of course, just coaching, you know, high academic kids who've got academic honors at NCAA level, conference level, coaching young women who player of the game, conference player of the week, a couple of them have gone on to play professionally overseas, you know, seeing them start their own lives and that kind of thing, married. So that part is rewarding for me. And I get and I understand why Coach Al and her staff didn't have kids. We were pretty much their kids.
Right.
You know, we were some bad kids sometimes. but they loved us. They loved us. They, you know, they supported us. And so I just want to be a ripple effect of what Coach Al kind of instilled in my life as a coach.
So. Speaking of Coach Al, tell me what tactics or what made you go to NC State? What did she use? I know she was recruiting you when you was in high school. So what led you to say, hey, NC State was the spot for me to go?
I think a couple of different reasons. And to be honest, the top reason wasn't basketball. I think most people would have thought basketball. But when I went to NC State were kind of down. And for me, I want to be a pioneer. Like, I'm just that person to say, nah, I'm going to go in there. We're going to be all right. You know, we're going to get back to where we were. And, hey, we ended up going to the Sweet 16. And it wasn't done again until this past year. And I actually was in the gym when they advanced to the Sweet 16 this next time. I could not miss it. That part was in terms of her philosophy, her coaching philosophy, and who she was as a person is really what landed me at NC State. And just how she treated her players, just her energy. I'm a filler. And so her energy was huge. I'll never forget. I went to my first camp was East Carolina. That was fifth grade. So there was an Ann Donovan, you know, God rest her soul, was there. Coach Matt, who actually ended up going to NC State. Those two people, they gave off that same energy. And so had they stayed there, East Carolina would have been in the running. But they ended up going to, you know, leaving. I forgot where Coach Donovan went. She might have went and started coaching in the WNBA by that time. But then I met Coach Al. Went to Coach Al's camp that same summer, sixth grade. Going into the sixth grade, so it was a fifth grade year.
Right.
And Miss Linda Jones, one of my biggest mentors, took me there, and you know, Coach Al says up to her, and Miss Jones like, I'm gonna make sure she comes to NC State. I didn't know that they had this pack behind my back, but you know, because Miss Jones never pressured me to go to NC State or anything like that. But I think people just kind of felt and seen it to be a good fit for me. because of Coach Al's coaching style, her philosophy. They were a family. Like, you go, you see the team. Like, everybody's a family. We call ourselves K-Fi Al. Like, we're a little sorority. Like, we're all still sisters. And that's the legacy that she built. When you're at a place for 34 years,
right,
you can build that kind of program and that type of legacy. You know right. what I mean? And that camaraderie in terms of players over generations. So I'm like sisters with players that played 20, 30 years before me. And that, in terms of networking and things like that, now that I'm old, I'm like, dang, I had no idea what type of treasure and, you know, that Coach Al kind of gave us and opportunities she's put us in. So I would say her personality and her coaching philosophy and just her as a person was the biggest draw. And the second biggest draw is because I wanted to go to school for engineering.
When did you realize that basketball was your love?
I was five. the moment where my mom's yelling at me at like 9 o'clock at night to come in the house. My brother's mad because I'm dribbling the basketball to church in this dress. And I took my basketball, purple and gold basketball, everywhere. I was about to beat up this guy who's like 16. But I'm like, he got my ball. He stole my ball. I know that's my ball. Y'all ain't gonna have my back, you know? And I still don't, if I see him to this day, I still sigh at him. I'll never forget it. I don't even know if that was really my ball, but that was the only time I ever seen a purple and gold ball was the one I had. And all of a sudden, he got one now. That's my ball. my stepdad made me fall in love with basketball. I was 5 years old. That's when I first learned back there in the country in Pine Tops. Biggest crossroad.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, you know, that's when ball was life.
It was life then.
Yeah, it was life. And then, you know, I went to Red Lee and I dominated and it was fun. It was fun. Dominating the little boys. And I was quiet and I didn't know then what it was, but that's the energy I love. I love it. I love the grittiness of it.
Right.
I love the piss people off. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, so I'm you got that Kobe type of dog.
I am a Kobe. Most definitely. That's my mentality. I am a franchise player mentality. So
tell me, how do you prepare yourself mentally as you coach these girls now? And also, how you prepare yourself mentally when you was playing the game of basketball too?
Two totally different things, because I'm right. in two totally different places in life.
Right.
as a player, I would say high school, I didn't prepare. I just played. It was just talent and love for the game. And I think that in high school, my belief in myself, my arrogance probably, you know, when I say arrogance, a lot of people that know me know that I'm extremely humble, you know, and I think that drive and that right. hunger, but that balance of humbleness to say, you know, I can't just go out here and underestimate. I got to go out here and dominate,
right?
Or at least show you that I can dominate. And I can turn it on and off when I want to, kind of thing. You know, it's that kind of cockiness.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, that kind of thing helped me. That was my preparation, I guess, in high school. In college, it was more so of, I want to be on the court. So I'm going to work hard. I'm going to work harder than anybody else. I was always the one diving on the floor, always the one doing whatever it took to be a team leader. And, you know, and this is something for personal too, sometimes to a fault where you don't advocate enough for yourself. So I ended up playing the four. Still, it didn't matter. I still started all 4 years. And I'm right. just like, whatever, is this what the team needs? It wasn't necessarily what I needed for my own career, but it's what coach felt the team needs. So I stepped up and I did it. You know, and so that was my motivation. It was more so of I wanted to please, you know what I mean? I wanted to make my family proud. I wanted to make Coach Al proud. And I wanted to just simply be the best and do the best that I can. Now, if I could have prepared myself the way that I prepared myself in coaching, I think it would have been a different story. Right. Because now it's more so of a mental game than it is a physical game for me. And so that means, you know, I really sit down and I do a lot of visualization. I do a lot of intention settings. And I am very cautious about the things that I do in terms of game plans, in terms of practice planning, that type of thing. We do. I try to make sure that we approach the game mentally. So we have a lot of mental moments and a lot of teaching in the programs that, you know, I've been a part of, in the programs that I run. And we're family. And so I'm trying to build what Coach Al built. You know what I mean? And so prepping myself now, like I said, will be more so mental and more so sitting than it is. As a player, I was a doer. Like, I don't really care about thinking. It'll come to me in the moment. I'll just get in the flow and it'll be all right. because that was my escape. Basketball was my escape. But as a coach, it's more so I have to be more tactical. So I'm at a place where I sit more and I visualize more and I think more of, I'm more strategic. As a player, you just go get it. You read it when you react, you know? But I wish I would have had the visualization part as a player more. So especially in college for me, because I switched positions. And if you know anything about playing a position that's not really your own, especially when you're in the ACC and you're like 5'9", 5'10",
yeah.
You know, it's playing for people like Misty Bass from Duke,
yeah.
Krista Langhorne from Maryland. These girls are in the WNBA, first round pick. They're right. Like 6'4", 280. I'm like, they got me listed at 6 feet. I'm like, I take it. But in reality, I'm 5'9", 5'10", 165 soaking wet, you know? So I'm like, oh, they trying to kill me. So switching back and forth from the 4 to the 3 to the 2, that messed with me mentally. So, for example, my freshman year, I was second leading scorer behind a Kodak All-American. You know, by my sophomore year, I'm over 5,000. I'm at 500 points. I'm breaking records at the freshman level and things like that. I'm starting as a freshman, and then I ended up going to the 4. Oh, I'm three-pointers. That's where the record, I'm like in the record book for three-pointers as a freshman.
Oh, man.
I probably didn't shoot very many threes at the 4. That's all mental. That's what I'm saying. Like, I wish I would have prepared more mentally at the collegiate level. And I wish I would have known. We didn't talk about sports psychology back then. You right. Hear it now all the time, but we didn't talk about sports psychology then. If it was sports psychology, it was more so leadership than it was your own mental game. And, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, for that, it's like everybody's like, you come home and everybody like, why you not shooting? Why you not doing this? Why you not doing that? And then the freshman year is, why you shooting so much? You need to pass the ball. I'll never forget. And this is Ron Mize, and I hope you see this.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And it was nothing to knock him, because I think he was a great guy, and I think he was really trying to push and motivate me, but it did the opposite.